Well, I have a wonderful electronic invention I want you to see. It looks something like you.
Hey, what's up, Internet? I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative professionals and entrepreneurs looking to grow, not only by learning new things, but by connecting their work to big ideas and overcoming the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. One of the subjects that I love learning about is creativity, specifically how to generate new ideas. Recently, I was reading the book Curious by Ian Leslie, and I was captivated by his comparison of our long-term memory to a database, and that creativity arrives when our subconscious accesses our mental databases to generate new ideas that we couldn't have considered. So the question is, what is in your mental database? Show notes and links for this episode can be found at gwtw.co/217. I'm very familiar with the idea of databases, and they're very fascinating to me because they're essentially a collection of information that has a specific purpose for them. So usually I think of my website when it comes to databases and how my site runs on WordPress, and WordPress's foundation is really a database, and everything is stored in a database. Everything has some description to it, some way of describing the content that lives in it. And in a lot of ways, without this description, a database would have no connection. It would have no connection to the bigger purpose of what it's supposed to do. And this is a very simplistic understanding of a database. But at the same time, when we think about a database, we think about records and we think about fields. And records are things like books, and the fields would be all the different ways that we could describe the books. Or the records could be the blog posts, and the fields would be all of the different ways to describe the content of the blog post. So the title, the description, the author, the date published, things like that. Well, recently I was reading the book Curious by Ian Leslie, and he talked a lot about how our long-term memory is a lot like a database. And that got me thinking, wow, the long-term memory is a database. So what are the records of my memory? What are the fields of my memory? What's in my mental database? For me, it's a lot of information about movies and music history and books. And for whatever reason, I liked to memorize the song listings of the different Metallica albums, so I can go back to not only the albums that they've released, but I could probably recall the song titles of each album. At some point, I knew how long each song was. Apparently, I didn't have a life when I was a child, and so listening to all these songs, I would read the booklets with the CDs and want to understand, oh, wow, you know, Master Puppets was 8.5 minutes, and it was song 2 of their third album in 1986, and I have no idea why I memorized all this information. But the whole point of Leslie's description of this mental database was that we need information. We can't offload the desire for filling our mind with information to Google. We can't offload it to Wikipedia. We need to store things in our mind. We need to store facts. We need to store content in our mind, because creativity occurs when our subconscious mind can start accessing our mental database and making connections that we otherwise wouldn't do, that we otherwise wouldn't think to make. Whew, I mean, that's pretty heady stuff. That's interesting. And when I think about building our mental database, I think about how in a lot of ways we don't really try to do that as much anymore, because technology makes it really easy to not have to worry about remembering things. We can remember how to find things, but we don't necessarily need to remember specific details. And so In this episode of Getting Work to Work, I'm going to share 7 ways to build your mental database so that, you know, you don't necessarily need to rely on technology and that you can give your brain something to do while you're doing the dishes, taking a shower, or going for that walk in the snow and ice this winter. So first, start with your interests. Be a generalist. Be curious about anything and everything. Don't be choosy with what you store in your mind. In a lot of ways, we tend to think about information that will only be useful to our careers. In the context of the classroom, where I spend a lot of time in my days, a lot of times people want specific information that will lead them to a job. But in a lot of ways, what we put into our minds will be useful. It may not look like it on the surface, but we need to trust that our mind will make connections. People like to put humanities aside and just focus on pure tech. But at the same time, our mind needs the humanities and the different areas of history and language and art to find the connections. Find the things that you're interested in, but find the things that, you know, will never really be connected to some bigger purpose until your mind makes the connection. Second, dive deep into your specialties. So if you're a beer label illustrator, dive deep into the techniques, the technologies of your craft. Dive deep into what makes beer interesting and special. Dive deep into the ways you approach your craft, because those are the things that allow your mind not only deeper in substance, but also to connect those generalist ideas, the things that you have stored in your mind. So for me, it's a lot to do with video production and camera angles and editing techniques, so that when I dive deep into those specialties, I can connect them to the different ideas that I want to pursue. How do you communicate power? How do you communicate storytelling? Well, you do it with different camera angles and the juxtaposition of images and words and music and ideas. Without those deep dives into the specialties, the generalist topics aren't as powerful. Third, don't try to make explicit connections between all of the content in your mental database. You need to let your subconscious mind figure it all out. You need to trust that when your subconscious needs to work, that it's going to step up and do the work that you might not be willing to do yet, or that you're trying to force your mind to do. Don't try to make those explicit connections. That's where the new ideas truly come from. When we try to force anything, that's when we're going to rely on the things that we've seen, the things that we've already done. Fourth, fill your mind with new content every day. I love starting the day reading books and writing in my notebook. What about you? What do you start your day with? Do you just sit down at the computer and start your grind without filling your mind with new information? Perhaps you sit on social media for a while so that you can find new things. But whatever you do, find ways that you can fill your mind, that you can fill your mental database with new content. Maybe it's you're going to see a new movie every day. Maybe you're going to go to a museum, an art museum, a science museum. Find those new ways that are going to allow your mental database to grow, not only in records, but in fields. Fifth, find ways to make content stick in your mind. What was interesting about the book Curious was that it was describing ways on how things get into our long-term memory, and that it takes time to get things to stick in our minds. It takes purpose. Actually using this material and finding ways to help us to remember these ideas. Additionally, it was just saying that in order for information to stick in our minds, that we need to put pen to paper, we need to read it in a book. We don't necessarily remember things as deeply if it originates digitally. And I found that really interesting. So in order for things to stick in your long-term memory, you need to find a way to commit it to your memory through physical action, say writing in a notebook or even speaking it out loud, getting it running through the different recesses of our mind. Kind of weird to really think about. It's kind of hard to put it into words, but at the same time, it's going to stick in my long-term memory as I go from typing it into a Word doc to getting it out of my mouth. Sixth, don't fear books and content that make you work for it. Digital technology is so easy to find. It's so plentiful. And I've heard a lot of students say that they just don't like to read because it takes too much time to get to the content. But as I was mentioning in step five, you know, you got to put the work in to get the content to stick in your mind. You are going to have to put effort in to remember this stuff. Whether you want to be a web developer, whether you want to be a graphic designer, whether you want to be a filmmaker, you need to put the work in every single day because that's the only way your mental database is going to grow. That's the only way that you're going to be able to make connections and allow your mind to make the connections. Seventh and finally, again, these last three are very well connected, but you need to put your mental database to work every day. You need to go for the walk. You need to go for the run, the jog. You need to take a shower every day. Because when you do these things, when you're doing the dishes, when you're doing things that seem mundane, the mundane part of our life is when our minds get to work, when it starts connecting our mental database to the creative problems that we need to solve. So I hope this has been an interesting episode for you. It's definitely got me thinking about, you know, what's in my database, what am I filling my mind with, and how am I really going to, in 2019, not only build my mental database with general information, but also specific information, and really allowing my mind to sort it out instead of me worrying about all of the different things that I want to connect. It's overwhelming to think about how I want my mind to connect these ideas, and instead just trusting that my subconscious mind is going to figure it all out. How about you? What is going to be in your mental database? What are you going to allow your curiosity to start seeking and searching for and storing in your mental database? That does it for this episode of Getting Work to Work. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It means a lot to me that you do. Would you be willing to share Getting Work to Work with your friends, other creative professionals, and entrepreneurs? You can send them to gwtw.co or have them search for Getting Work to Work on most podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. Would you like to be a guest on a future episode of Getting Work to Work or know someone who should be on the show? Maybe you need some advice, encouragement, or just want someone to say hi to, drop me a line by sending me an email. I'm Chris at chrismartinstudios.com, or you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at CM Studios. As you may have noticed, I talk a lot about curiosity and why we should be curiosity builders. You might be thinking, Chris, why curiosity? Well, I think it's the antidote to the poison of conformity. It's how we learn, grow, and overcome the urge to be perfect. If you'd like to be a curiosity builder with me, sign up for the Curiosity Lab. Each week, you'll get inspiration, connection to new ideas, and ways to build your curiosity toolkit. You can sign up today at thecuriositylab.net or at the bottom of the show notes page at gwtw.co/217. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.